From Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, this is Dugout Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
One thing that I really want the fans to know is that the marketing department exists in this organization to try to bring the fans closer to the club.
It's not a job, it's a life.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together. And there's a lot of special people and, makes coming to work fun every day.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
After he was finished, I just kind of raised my hand and said, okay, which wall do you want me to run through?
Welcome to the 11th installment of Dugout Dirt. I'm your host, Jared Couch. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please feel free to listen to the other episodes. We've covered everything from ballpark food, Jeff Bannister's battle with cancer and paralysis, walk-up music, and many more interesting topics. With all the rain pouring down on Texas over the past month or so, we thought it would be a perfect time to discuss the grounds crew and how they go about making the field at Globe Life Park one of the best in all of baseball. Our marketing manager, Sarah Stone, and I sat down with Director of Grounds, Dennis Klein, prior to the season to discuss all things dirt and grass.
What's the day in the life like in the grounds crew?
Well, on game days, we report here about 9 a.m. and, get all our grass mowed and get all that stuff out of the way. Then we spend the majority of our day working on the dirt areas. The majority of the game is played on the dirt. As you know, only three people play on the grass. Usually that's just the outfielders. So we concentrate mostly on keeping our moisture level right, depending on the day. You know, if it's high winds, we'll know I have to pump a lot more moisture into it. You know, if it's a calm day, we won't have to do it as much. We like to start with a firm base. Kind of, we're shooting for like a cleat in, cleat out effect, kind of like when you throw a dart at a dartboard. You pull that dart out, the dartboard doesn't explode, or, it's a clean in and out. That's what we're shooting for with our the cleats out there that'll help for a better bounce of the ball.
I'm always fascinated by the well-manicured grass at ballparks, but I've never been able to match those almost artistic outfield patterns.
So what kind of lawn mowers do you have? You got a push mower you're pushing out there?
No, we have real mowers, regular greens mowers that you would mow a green with. We mow every day. Mowing every day promotes growth, gives us a denser turf. That's what we shoot for. It's a greens mower, it's a real mower. Each reel has 11 blades on it.
So how do y'all get those patterns in the outfield?
The patterns in the outfield are laid down. It's just basically the way the sun reflects off the blade of grass. So if a blade of grass is laid down one direction, usually the fat part of that leaf blade will give a light reflection. If the grass is laid down towards you, you'll just see the tips of the grass, so you'll get a dark reflection. So it's basically just the way the grass blade's laid down and the way the light reflects off of it.
So I know that I've seen some crazy patterns. Say, in St. Louis, they do the art. Right. Is there any crazy patterns that you guys have done?
I mean, we run two different kinds of grass out here. We have winter grass, which is basically just perennial ryegrass, and that dies in June, and then we're just straight Bermuda. Our cool season grass, we can do some things with it. It's a fatter leaf blade, a more of an upright growing turf, so that allows us to put in different patterns. But once we get into the summer, once we get to June, Bermuda's a real grainy grass, lateral growing, and it's real hard to stripe it and change it. Once we're locked in a couple patterns with our Bermuda, that's what you're gonna see.
As any Texan knows, the summers around these parts can be scorching hot. Most of us can step inside for a quick breather and air-conditioned, climate-controlled environments, but the grounds crew at Globe Life Park doesn't have such a luxury. They have to make sure the playing field is in tip-top shape. Now, the heat takes its toll on not only the field, but the guys that are taking care of that baseball field.
So what challenges does the Texas heat present?
The heat's the heat's tough. You know, once we start getting hot in June, you know, we're trying to transition. We're trying to go from our ryegrass to our Bermuda grass. So it's got to be a smooth transition because, you know, there's like 6 days between homestands. So it's a gradual transition where a lot of universities and whatnot, they can just spray it out because they're not playing in the summertime. You know, they're done in June. So ours has to be a gradual transition. The heat, you know, really wreaks havoc on us with the dirt areas. You know, and also the employees, you know, it's wear and tear on these guys. You know, I try to get them in and out of the heat, keep them hydrated as much as possible, but that's about
How many folks do you have on your staff?
I have a full-time assistant and two full-time regular grounds crew members, and then we'll bring in two interns that are in turf programs in, around the country. And then I have a guy from who runs the Puerto Rican League. He runs a stadium in Puerto Rico. He'll come here because they're not playing in the summertime. But and then we'll have 15 people that we hire for a day of game staff.
On a typical day at the park, the grounds crew flies under the radar. But on the rare occasion of a rain delay, they become the main attraction.
What's the procedure like for a rain delay?
The procedure for the rain delay, you know, if we see something coming, I'll locate where the crew chief's going to be, and I'll be down in the umpire area, and I'll go out between innings, and I'll bring my handheld device, and I'll show them. I'll say, hey, look, you know, this is what we have coming. You know, if I think there's going to be wind on the front end, you know, hey, we might need to go a little earlier. And most umpires, the majority of the umpires are good to work with. You know, they'll listen to what I have to say, and if I show them a visual, you know, they understand colors. You know, red is bad, and so they can see that, and you know, they usually you know, listen to what I have to say, and you know, as soon as it starts getting bad, you know, I'll give them a hand gesture, you know, hey, we need to shut it down, and usually they'll listen. So
putting the tarp on the field, how many people does it take to get that out?
With no wind, you know, we can do it in under 2 minutes probably with, you know, 15 to 16 17 people, but you know, a lot of time the wind's involved, and it's just a big parachute's what it is. You know, you've seen it blow around, and you know, it'll take, you know, 20 people to get it on there.
There last year, what team was it that had the mishap?
The Yankees.
So last year it started going haywire like a parachute. Has that ever happened?
Oh yeah, yeah. We lost the tarp 2 years ago. During batting practice, which is a tough time to get it out because you have all your screens on the field, so you got to clear that, and then you got to get the tarp out, and you don't have your tarp crew here yet, so you're kind of shorthanded. But you know, I just waited a little too long to get them off the field, so you know, by the time we got it unrolled, the wind kicked up, and I lost the tarp. So
I imagine that's kind of that's a tough call to make sometimes because you got guys, everybody wants to keep the game going, but you're kind of on the fence.
It's a tough, you know, it's a tough call to make. Yeah, but I'm looking out for the safety of my guys too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to put them in harm's way. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, when Chuck, you know, makes an announcement, hey, we need to clear the upper deck because there's lightning in the area. Yeah. But the first people that run out into the field when everyone's running off the field are my guys. So it's like, you kind of worry sometimes about their safety. And
What keeps you awake at night?
What keeps me awake at night is when there's a slight chance of rain and we don't have the tarp on the field. So, you know, if, say, the tarp's been down for 2 or 3 days, I need to give it a break. So if there's like a 10% chance of rain, sometimes I'll say, hey, let's leave it uncovered. But, you know, I'll sleep with one eye open, and I hear any kind of noise, I'm like immediately grabbing my phone, looking at the radar. So.
And with the Texas weather, I imagine it's pretty tricky.
Yeah. I've been caught a couple times having to run up here at 4 or 5 in the morning and grabbing some of the overnight security and some of the guys cleaning the stands and trying to get the tarp out. Just, you know, stuff pops up and, you know, you lose a game. I mean, you lose a lot of money.
So it was you and Dave from security rolling out the tarp.
Yeah, pretty much. We've done it with as little as 4 people before, and it's not fun.
Baseball players can be extremely superstitious. Baseball is a game of routine. There's a game every day. So the players like consistency.
Any players picky about the field? Are you getting input from the players?
Yeah, the players, you know, they all kind of like their areas. You know, Elvis kind of likes his area a little drier. Beltre likes his pretty wet. So, you know, I try to adjust my watering accordingly.
I know I've heard that some teams adjust the length of the infield grass to dictate the play. Yeah. What can you tell us about that?
We've done that in the past. The World Series runs, we were running zoysia grass out there, something real tall, you know, helping the pitchers. But, you know, the infielders were having a tough time adjusting to it because once that ball would hit that grass, you know, all of a sudden they had to readjust their move on the ball. It's the last couple of years, we've been pretty staying pretty true to the rest of the field, about 5/8 of an inch, and the ball's been bouncing really true, and the infielders have really liked it.
So that can significantly impact the speed of the ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, the pitching coaches want it tall, the hitting coaches want it short. So, I mean, who's the final say on this deal, you know?
Happy medium.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of work happening on the pitcher's mound. Yeah. So what all does it take to maintain the pitcher's mound during the season?
The pitcher's mound, we try to keep a consistent slope. There are regulations and rules in the rule book regarding the height of the mound, the slope of the mound, which they will come check before every season, and before every playoff game they come and check to make sure that, you know, we're not too high or too steep, because, you know, usually after the league checks, you know, our guys will go, hey, shave it down a little bit, we want it steeper, or, hey, can you raise it up a couple inches, you know. And just basically just keeping the consistency of that slope is kind of what we're trying to do on that.
Are there any batters? I know I pitched in high school. My nickname was Spit, slowest pitcher in Texas. That's what it stood for. But I know we played on crappy fields, but there would be divots or there'd be holes in the pitching mound. Mm-hmm. Is that an issue with...
You know, we use that high school clay is a lot different than the clay we use. We used, you know, clay that's 75% clay. I mean, it's... And if keep the moisture level right in your dirt, you pack it in properly, you know, it's hard for those guys to get into it.
Right. And same thing with the batter's box, they can't really create.
Right, and you know, our pitchers, even the pitchers like it different, you know, like some guys like C.J. Wilson or Holland, you know, they want it hard, you know, so we'll pack it in there hard. We won't have it too soft. Darvish kind of likes to get into it a little bit, I've noticed. But yeah, definitely, you know, when Holland pitched or when CJ used to pitch, you know, we keep it really dry.
Working in baseball, there's always a slight chance you can end up in the headlines. For the grounds crew, that can happen on the biggest stage, and a bad hop here or there, and they could be front and center of the media's attention.
How cool was it? You talked a little bit about the World Series. How cool was it, you know, playing here?
Oh, the World Series was really cool. You know, it's a lot different than, say, like when we had the All-Star game here. You know, the All-Star game, there's a lot of hoopla and a lot of stuff that's not related to the game. The World Series was good. It was just straight related to the game, you know, so they still let us do our job, you know, and tried to stay out of our way the best they could, so we were able to prep the field the best we could. But, you know, this, you know, MLB Network was set up on the sidelines, and ESPN's on this sideline, and a lot more media, you know. Every bounce of the ball during the game, you know, I'm watching, don't take a bad hop, you know, because you don't want to be noticed, you don't want to be in the paper the next day, hey, the infield sucked and the ball was bouncing bad. And so
I know they had the phone gate back in the World Series, so you don't want to be involved in anything like that. You remember that when there was like some phone
with the
bullpen?
Exactly. You know, like last year, you know, they were saying that the Giants, you know, wetted, how do you say that? Had the first base side of the infield, you know. They were saying that the Giants over-wetted that side.
Yeah.
Got it too wet, and the guys were slipping because Kansas City could run, you know. So they went to the grounds guy, and they're like, hey, did you purposely put too much water down on the right? And he's like, no, that's how our guys like it, you know. It's really, you know, I've been accused of gamesmanship before, you know. I can recall Carl Crawford hadn't been thrown out I don't know how long, and he got thrown out twice here. And the next day they accused me of gamesmanship in the paper, that I purposely went down the first base area to slow him down. I was like, you know, I don't go home at night going, hey, I'm going to shut down the running game tomorrow. You know, that's not even close to any of my thoughts.
So. But you can really impact the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I could.
Is there anything else we should know about what it takes to do your job?
Well, just like anyone who works in baseball, you know, a lot of time away from home in the, during the season. I try to make up for that in the off season, but, you know, it's always kind of tough, you know, two kids, a wife, and all that. So just trying to balance family life and baseball, cool. You know.
I used to cut yards as a kid, so if you ever need me
yeah.
to check
that. Right on.
That'll do it for another episode of Dugout Dirt. I hope you have a better appreciation for the grounds crew at the ballpark. And the next time you're at Globe Life Park, you admire their work a little more. I'd like to thank Dennis Klein for his time and his willingness to explain what he does on a daily basis. I'd like to thank Becky Kimbrough, Sarah Stone, and Anissa Pruitt, and everyone in the marketing department, as well as everyone at the Texas Rangers that helped get this podcast on the air. For more original Texas Rangers content, please visit texasrangers.com/neverevercquit. Also, Dugout Dirt can always be found on iTunes and at texasrangers.com/podcast. Until next time, my name is Jared Couch, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Dugout Dirt.